Hello and welcome to Take Your Time, a show where we play Persona 5 Royal in real time along to the in-game's time calendar that is also in real time, and we are in our real time going through it in time as we go. Time. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Tom Marks.
Hello!
How's it going, Tom?
It's going good. That will never not be confusing or difficult to say.
No, it won't. We'll get it by the end. We'll get it by, like, January.
I hope we don't.
We'll find more ways to butcher the name of our own show that we came up with. But thank you so much for joining us, and welcome back. Of course, if this is your first time joining, take your time. There are past episodes you can jump into that might help make all of this make sense, but of course, as a reminder, this is the show where Tom and I are playing Persona 5 Royal day by day along to the in-game calendar, and we talk about it each week. We've had a few story-regimented weeks for those who are new to the game or, you know, just revisiting it and maybe have forgotten. The beginning of the game definitely wants you to sort of experience certain things at a certain pace before letting you into what is the more normal Persona cadence that we'll see throughout the rest of the game. Of course, if this is your first time playing, we're going to keep it as spoiler-free as possible for those who want that experience. We might talk about some spoilery stuff later in the episode. We'll make sure to put spoiler warnings in, and I will make sure the time codes appear before we do. But before we jump into what's been going on, because this week is the most different week for us to talk about yet, it's going to be a very different week compared to what we've talked about so far. But of course, we have a pop quiz question to follow up on. And Tom, last week you stumped me yet again with your pop quiz. So for those who don't remember, what was your question? And of course, what is the answer?
So last week, the question was what very time sensitive and definitely potentially life threatening disease did On tell Kamoshida she just hadn't quite found the time to go to the doctor yet to get checked out, which was a lie to blow him off. And the answer was appendicitis, which is not a thing you should wait on to get checked out.
Oh, I got just a little bit of appendicitis going on in the background. Otherwise, I'm doing okay these days, you know.
My favorite part about that lie is how much Kamoshida just, like, doesn't question it. Like, he's the one who remembered it. He's like, oh, yeah, didn't you say you were dealing something about appendicitis? And she's like, yeah, I just haven't had time to check that out. And it's like, oh, my God, man.
Oh, man.
What an idiot.
I definitely lied a couple times as a kid of getting sick. I don't think, probably in high school I did once or twice, but I think I kept it to normal things like, oh, I have a cold or a fever or something like that. Never. Mm-hmm. Oh, I gotta go. I broke my leg, so I gotta go check that out at some point. I'll be back though soon. You don't worry about it. I'll be all right.
I was always, real quick as an aside, I was always terrified that I had appendicitis because of the Malcolm in the Middle episode where, oh God, I'm totally blanking on his name, but the oldest brother gets appendicitis while he's out in military training, and like, he describes it as this horrible, terrible experience, and since it can happen at any time. So as a little kid, I was like, is this side pain? Is that what this is? Is this appendicitis? Like, I was very nervous about it when I was young.
That is such a little neurotic kid thing to do. I love it. As a hypochondriac, I can definitely relate to that sort of thing of, oh, I had a weird breath. Am I dying? Probably. Right. But, you know, we're going to try to get through the episode with our health intact. And as we do, as I was mentioning, this is the first week where we have free time. So Tom and my weeks are going to look different. The day by day of it's going to be a little different. So we're going to get into all of that. We are, of course, for those who don't remember from last week, just to briefly recap it, of course, we are in a place where you can now potentially infiltrate Kamoshida's palace and begin to explore and try to find his treasure. You can choose to do that, as Tom, I believe you pointed out last week, in the metrics, because we had both gotten a little bit ahead. Essentially, like 70% or something, like 60,
yeah, it's like 70%. It's between 60 and 70. It's like a little above 60.
Go for the palace day one. Neither of us did.
No.
But other than that, we haven't really told each other what we did or how we spent our time. So this is going to be a little bit of a like discovery point for both of us. But no matter what, whether we spent time in the palace or not, we are not going to be diving fully into like a palace breakdown and going through the mechanics and introduction of a lot more stuff in there until next week, to help it kind of line up more narratively.
Yeah, there's a few reasons we're holding off the discussion. One, anybody could be playing, like, you might not be one of those people that played right away, and you might be saving the palace for the end, and we don't want to just, like, completely jump the gun and talk about that. Also, narratively, it does make a little more sense to just wait till both of us have played it, right? Because if we say, oh, well, we have to talk about it now, then, like, I'm talking about it maybe when I've played it and Jonathan hasn't, or vice versa, and so we're just going to save it till next week, because there's plenty to talk about this week, and yeah, since it could fall kind of anywhere in there, it just makes sense to do that.
Yeah, we definitely want to give those at home, especially because we didn't say, like, we're going to be playing it this right. coming week. Things, as they are usually on this show, that might change in later palaces. We may sure. say ahead of time we're going to be playing it this week, so prepare, or we understand a little bit more of the cadences going forward, and so we might want to play the palace is not in the last week of availability, but that's going to be sort of a case by case basis.
Yeah.
And we'll get there as we do, as we will with most things on this show. but of course, just as a brief reminder of where things were left off last week, we sort of fully got to the first four members of the Phantom Thieves together. A full party's worth of players for combat is here. We have Joker, Ryuji, An, and Morgana all ready to go for battle or to hang out in the real world. Of course, Morgana is now hanging around as a real cat, despite wanting to make it clear that they are not a cat. They're hanging out as a real cat in the real world with you, staying at your place above the cafe. And then kind of, you know, as April 18th ends, and I'm just making sure there wasn't anything else from last week lingering, you get sort of your first, like, free evening on the 18th, I believe, mm-hmm. and then you kind of can just go into it. And April 19th is sort of the beginning of a really, really crucial part. And before we get to the day-to-day of it, I did want to bring this up because this was a sort of, I remember being paralyzed by choice the first time I played Persona, and it was something that I feel like it's going to be a weekly mention at this point, but Andrew Goldfarb, what he taught me was really to, especially the first time through, like, unless you are one of those people who wants to, like, mechanically follow through beat by beat the optimal calendar to play through, which you can do, like, there are guides to do that. If you are just wanting to play it to really sort of invest yourself in it, like, understand that you're not going to see everything, and just accept that internally, and just make the choices you feel like you want to make. Like, spend the time with the characters you want, spend the time, you know, doing the jobs that you want, working, exploring. You will definitely be more limited right now at the beginning. There will be many more options later, but I think that freedom, if you think of it a little bit less as, like, what's the best way to play and more so what's just the way I want to play, these weeks end up being much better for me personally.
Yeah, no, totally. I completely agree, because there's a lot to do in this game, right? And, like if you're playing just absolutely optimally to, like, platinum it, like, I platinumed Royal my first time playing through, although, as we mentioned before, it's not, like, the hardest platinum in the world or anything, so it's not, like, bragging about that. It's just, like, part of that is, like, if you're just going for, like, full-on max, min-maxing everything you can, you'll end up kind of missing things that you don't really need to do but are kind of fun. Like, you don't ever really need to like go to the batting cages that are in Young and Jaya, right?
Yep.
That you have access to very early. You kind of don't ever really need to do that, but it's like a fun little mini game, right? And it gets you some stuff here and there. So, like, yeah, I totally agree that this is a game that has tons of choice, and I love that about it, because there are absolutely, like you said, better quote-unquote things to do, but none of the choices you make are really, like, wrong. Like, yeah, everything you do will get you something, and everything you do will get you something that will benefit you in some way. Some things more than others, yada yada yada, but, like, there isn't a game where it's like, oh, you did that for that day, oh, you just completely, like, that was a negative progress, right? Like, you're yeah. never gonna have a moment like that, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. There's definitely a couple, I think, story-related things later down the line that the calendar kind of maybe doesn't let you know you should be doing by certain dates, but we'll get there. But yeah, I totally agree with you, especially for Royal versus 5. Like, if you are a completionist, if you are wanting to get the Platinum Trophy, the base game does definitely kind of need a bit more of a, like, regimented plan, actually.
Totally.
It is a much less forgiving completionist game than Royal.
And Royal is easier even if you're not platinuming necessarily, because it, without spoiling anything, there are more days to play, so you have more time there. Morgana doesn't tell you to go to sleep at night nearly as much. You can do things in LeBlanc at night after you've gone into the metaverse, which is a thing that you couldn't do out the gate in the base game. So it gives you a lot more opportunities to kind of like slip in little social skill points here and there that's kind of just smooth everything out, right? And that's, yeah, so it's a lot more forgiving, like you said.
Yeah, and I think that only adds to sort of the, like, oh yeah, I want to make the choices I want to make, and I want to go, you know, down the paths that interest me most in this world, especially as it starts to open up. Which we're only at the precipice of these free days, and already there's a lot you can do, but it's only going to magnify from here, especially with Royal. So let's start with April 19th. For reference, the night before, I forgot to mention this. So what happened was, on April 18th, I didn't end up cleaning my room that night. I cleaned LeBlanc downstairs because I didn't... Oh. That was because I didn't realize... I think I mentioned this last week, but I didn't realize you could do that in the base game.
Yeah.
And it's a trophy in this one, so of course I had to get it. But it popped up as one of the activity cards in the PS5, and I was like... You can clean downstairs, and it's just like, oh yeah, there's just the bathroom there. It's like, oh, I ran by that thing every day and never thought twice about it. Which is one of the fun things, as you were saying, like, there's just so much to see. But yeah, in terms of my April 19th, I have my notes here. During the day, I spoke with Ryuji.
Hung out with him?
Yeah, I hung out with Ryuji for the first one, so I did his sort of first confidant side story, and then I cleaned up my room that night.
Yeah, okay. I hung out with Ryuji also, because this is, yes, I think, the first day where you can hang out with him during the day, and
yeah,
as we've discussed previously on this show, Ryuji is the best boy, and I did that as well, and then I ended up reading that night in LeBlanc. I read the Captain Kidd book for Guts. But can we talk about Ryuji for a moment?
Yes, that's where I wanted to, yeah.
Yeah, because I love that kid, and this first sort of, like, it's not technically, because it's getting you to the second confidant point.
Yes, yeah. The first time you can hang out, though.
Right. Yeah. And you go and train and do some running, and you get a little bit of insight into his sort of relationship with Kamoshida, more like what happened with Kamoshida coming in and basically, like, intentionally sabotaging the track team. And you also get little indications of, like, him worrying about his mom a little bit and, like, his family life. You just get a little bit more insight into him in a really interesting way. And, like, yeah, he's such a funny character to me because he is so over the top in a lot of ways in his, like, reactions to things. He'll get really hot-headed and really mad and, like, very cartoonishly sort of, like, boisterous at a lot of times. But he's a very, like, weirdly complex and nuanced character when he comes down to it. Like, he really doesn't want to disappoint his mom. He feels really bad about, like, letting down his fellow track and field, like, track team members. Like, he's got a lot of depth as a character, and... Man, I just love Ryuji. I, like, really love Ryuji.
Yeah, I am more connected to him even already, I think, on this run than I was in P5, because I really, really ignored his side story for some reason in P5, and I think it was just because in my head he was the annoying kid. Like, he's essentially, he's the archetype of the comedic effect
member
of the team, and if you just leave it at that, you could never know any of these things about his family life. But you're totally right, it, like, learning about him talking about sort of his abusive father, him wanting to do right by his mom, Kamoshida using the knowledge of his abusive father to then further be abusive toward him and sort of blackmail him and all these things. It's like, as you were saying, it layers more depth to this character than I think you would ever expect from the comedic effect, you know, rambunctious, loud member of the group. there's no a lot characters more to them
there. No characters are, I think, like, just pure stereotypes
for
in
sure.
this game, and I appreciate that. Obviously there is some later on some stereotypical stuff that is not great at times, and it's not yes. saying that there is no stereotyping in this game, but at least the core cast of the Phantom Thieves, I think they do a really good job of sort of like providing a few more layers than you might normally get from just like generic X character that fills Y archetype, right? Like it's more than that, and I appreciate that, and I think that you start to get that in Ryuji's. I end up hanging out with Ryuji a lot very quickly early in this game. Partly, I guess this is like getting ahead of ourselves, partly because one of his confidant abilities is incredibly good and sort of breaks Royal fundamentally in a very real way, but we'll get to that later, I guess.
Okay, during this week or later?
No. It's
okay.
I think it's his like seventh confidant ability or something. It's a little bit went down the ways, and I won't spoil it, but it is incredibly good, and so okay. I try to prioritize Ryuji a little bit early on, just from like a cold mechanical standpoint, but also that's because fair. I just like learning about him.
I guess a primer for this week, I only hung out with people a max of one time because I wanted to wait for, and I guess this is a tip for newcomers, you can get more stat points when you're hanging out right. with them if you have a persona of their of your confidant link with them. So for Ryuji, if you have a chariot persona, you will be able to get more points per hanging out, and you'll need less like in between hangouts and whatnot.
I guess that's actually a thing we haven't talked about yet either, is
true
with the confidant like the actual confidant hangout times. Now we also finally got our introduction of these dialogue choices actually having an effect on gameplay.
Yeah,
now.
That's very true,
because that's not really a thing before this. You get a ton of dialogue choices, and we talked about this a little before as well, but like you get a ton of dialogue choices, but it's all role-playing. And now in these confidant moments, you kind of have to find the thing to say that you think will resonate with that person or that they'll like. And mechanically, I believe how that works is that there's one choice that will give you 1 point, one choice that'll give you 2 points. And then if you have a confidant or if you have a persona of their type, each of those will give you an extra point, I believe is how it works.
In some cases. So I, full disclosure, for my first playthrough, because I was trying to trophy hunt, I played with a guide for the confidant ranking stuff. Because I
gotcha.
I didn't for the first couple conversations, and I was getting nowhere. And I was like, am I just a bad friend? Like, why is this not working out? And I was like, oh, there's a number game behind it that I just didn't fully understand. I thought it was just going to give you points no matter what.
Right.
And so once I understood that, I looked at a guide. There are some, like, essentially there's maybe like three to, in some of the later ones, like 7 or 8 choices you'll make throughout the hangout sessions. Sometimes there are no points available for a certain level. Like sometimes it's just whatever answer you give is just an answer. Sometimes there are multiple answers that will give you 2 and 1 will give you 3 if you have the chariot bonus or, you know, the persona bonus, excuse me. It sort of varies, but the base one is what you were describing essentially. Yeah. That's the most common version of it. But it can have some weird variations. Sometimes it's like, no matter what choice you make, it's all the highest it could be sort of thing.
Right.
So it'll vary in those combos, but yeah, if you're worried about ranking up the confidant things, you can look up a guide, and I don't think it ruins those sections, but again, it is just sort of the, like, how much do you want to be in the, I'm choosing how this Joker acts with their friends versus, I just want to make sure my levels are good. And I think either in that case is valid, because it is certainly a little bit, it's a bit of a guessing game sometimes.
It can be a little unclear. Eventually you can start to find patterns about like what certain people like to hear and sort of pander to them a little bit.
Yeah.
I never looked up a guide for this stuff because, oh my, there's a race car outside my house apparently.
Yeah.
I never looked up a guide for the conversations just because I liked sort of like role-playing it a little more than that.
But
it's an interesting thing because it actually makes you, it switches those conversation choices from being just role-playing things to actually having consequences in a real way. And it makes you think about like not always just giving the snarky joke answer if that's what you've been doing, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And even then, sometimes if you're the like really emphatic, like supportive friend, sometimes that's not the thing to choose either.
Right.
It does really make you think about the choices. And I think like how I looked at it sometimes was like, even if I'm using the guide, I liked knowing what choices worked best, because it also then eventually clued me into kind of where that character's mind was at. Totally. And so like that was sort of how I justified it in my head. But again, it's however you want to play is totally fine. Like us playing this game day by day.
And Royal also adds, which a thing that I think is really funny, which is at the end of every hangout, it might be every hangout or it might be every hangout you get a level. I can't remember exactly. But at the end of some hangouts, the person you just hung out with will then call you on your cell phone right when you're about to get home. And it's like a little opportunity to just get a couple more points, right? That's another one of those spots where Royal is just like, okay, let's just add a little bit, a few more opportunities to get a little progress with people here and there. Which I always think is funny, because sometimes it ends up being like Ryuji calling you after this one and being like, hey, did you make it home okay, bud? And it's like, oh, you're so sweet.
It does. I think those, you know, I've only seen a couple of them so far, but I do think they add a little bit to it of just like the, you're always connected to these people, but to have that little check-in moment where it was like, this wasn't just like this isolated hangout session. Like it does matter for the continuing relationship.
Yeah.
I like that stuff. So, anyway, we both hung out with Ryuji. What did you say else you did on the 19th?
I read. So because I had hung out with Takemi the day before and gotten that confidant officially, this is some foreknowledge of me, but I knew that to do the next Takemi level, I would need Guts up. So I read the Captain Kidd book from the library, which is Ryuji's confidant and gets you Guts for reading it.
I took out that book the next day, and I do want to get to that in a second. I did just want to point out there was also this was one of the days where you have, I think it's the first question in class, if not the second. It's one of the earlier ones. Yeah. Where you're asked a question.
One of the earlier ones, yeah.
But what was really not funny, but just like one of the tonal disconnects was like, the teacher was like, yeah, I really feel for Shiho. Like, it's really awful what they were going for. You know what else is also awful? Not knowing the answers to questions. So here's a question for you all. It was like, that's a bit of a stretch, my dude.
They're always a stretch. They're always insane. It's so funny.
It was just like, oh yeah, this student tried to, you know, harm themselves in such a serious manner. Perfect time for a quiz. That's where that teacher's brain went.
Can you imagine if they're like, you just put that into the real world? I know games need a suspension of disbelief to a certain extent always, but like, just imagine a real teacher actually doing a segue like that. They would be fired.
They would be fired instantly.
Like, so quick.
Like, kids would not sit in that class. They would just go to the principal's office and be like, hey, you need to get rid of this guy. Because that is awful. It is just demonstrably awful to use that as your you know, segue.
Yeah, not good.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was really weird. But other than that, for the questions in class, again, this is the one I don't feel shame about. I use a guide anytime I'm stuck, because some of these are like,
oh yeah,
how in any planet would I have known the answer to some of these?
Yeah, and those are also, that's also not a like something to be ashamed about, because they build it into the game, right? You just press in on the trackpad and it tells you, it doesn't tell you the answer, it tells you like a, like, survey the audience, what did everybody else say? But there's always like two options that are 0%, one option that's 7%, and the last one is 93% of people picked it, and it's like, oh, okay, those are the people that used a guide and just picked that one.
Exactly, yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, these are free knowledge points, because we haven't gone too much into the star system. We're only on April 19th, so we're you know, making our way through this week, no problem. But just to quickly mention that, because we haven't really talked about that, you do have essentially your five social stats, because, you know,
yeah,
you should always have multiple stat trees. Here it's, I'm going to try to do them off the top of my head, but I'm going to definitely forget one. There's kindness, charm, knowledge, guts, and is it proficiency?
Yep, nice. That's it.
Okay, so those make up the tips of a star, essentially, that you are building out, and you're getting points by doing the various things, as Tom said. Studying to get guts from the specific Captain Kidd book, in class, answering things correctly gets you a knowledge point. There are other things that come up this week that will play into that star chart, so I don't want to belabor, you know, too many examples now. But we can shift into the 20th if there was nothing major from that I cleaned up my room and then I realized, oh yeah, I do also have the DLC, so I got 50,000
money.
we're both cheating the system.
Dude, so real quick, I want to just mention that again, because like this is something that comes if you have the deluxe edition or whatever, then you just get this, and if you have Persona 5 save data, you just get this. It's not like actual cheating, but it is like definitely like insane, because you get $50,000 off the bat, or 50,000 yen, and then also you get a ton of cosmetic outfits and you get a ton of accessories, right? And one of the accessories is just busted OP at the beginning of the game, because you have nine of like all the accessories, and one of the accessories gives life boost, which means you have more health, and all your stats get +3, which at the beginning of the game is usually like doubling all your stats, or like 50% extra on all your stats. So it's really, really, really powerful early on. It has made hard not feel nearly as hard, but obviously also those sort of like kick out of the gate advantages, they have very, very diminishing returns, because +3 stats is really good at level 5, but it's basically meaningless at level, you know, 20.
Yeah, it'll quickly become less relevant, but it sure is a nice boost. I didn't actually find that night one, but we'll get to that in a little bit. but I did clean up my room that night. Anyway,
cool.
The 20th, I studied because it was raining. I didn't really ever use the library in my first playthrough, but because you and a few other people had been talking it up, because you can just rent a free book, I went, rented the Captain Kidd book and studied when it was raining, because you do get a bonus as well when it's raining for studying. So I always try to make sure to study on those days. I forgot the cafe on the Central Street doesn't open until May, because I always studied there because I never used the library. So I kept trying. I was like, maybe it'll open early, but it doesn't. And so I studied when it was raining, and then I spoke with Sojiro that night, now I'm forgetting if that opened a confidant. I don't think it did. Or no, I think maybe it did. Anyway, I spoke with Sojiro and had a deep enough conversation with him that it ended the evening.
Then yeah, that was probably the getting the confidant with him. Yeah.
This is what happens when you play later in the week. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did that later in the week. And also, can we at this point we've now gotten a couple more confidants, and like I just want to bring this up now because I think it's the funniest, it's going to be one of the funniest running trends of this game, which is every time you get a new confidant, it jumps forward back into the clock, into the interrogation where you're talking to Sai, and Sai like asks you these just hysterically specific questions about like the one person you got the confidant with that time, and I love it so much.
They're
the most absurd specific questions ever, and they're so good.
Like Ace Attorney could probably learn a lesson from Sai with the specificity of her questions. It's like, there must have been some way you were staying up all night to perform these actions using something along the lines of a coffee bean. Now tell me, who was your coffee bean supplier, and what cafe perhaps did they work out of where they also served curries? Just a question.
And then she always ends with, answer me, or like some like really like accusatory thing.
And Joker's just sitting there like, I don't want to have to deal with this man. Yeah. It's great. I'm totally there with you. So yeah, I spoke with Sojiro, and then I fed the plant that night for the first time. Yeah, which is
always got to get that plant food.
If you're a newcomer, make sure to feed your plant. You can get some plant food both on Central Street in a shop in the back, as well as in the underground walkway. From the flower shop, I believe there's a protein you can buy from there.
Yeah, in the underground mall. And then the underground mall one gets you 2 kindness, the other one gets you 1, and then you can eventually get one that's 3, but that's only when you unlock another one later. And I basically always make sure I have, like, 2 of those on hand just in case, like, I need to, you know, feed the plant, get some free kindness. Because it's just free social stats, right?
Exactly. I learned a couple times how many days it takes, like, for the plant to want more food. I never remember it. Like, I looked it up earlier today and I've forgotten.
I've never looked it up. I've always just been like, I just check every other day because I'm just so lazy to even remember.
Yep. It's literally a single number I could remember, and I have never remembered it to this day, but I've looked it up so many times. So yeah, that was my 20th. What did you do that day?
So that day, on the morning train, you get to read. So true. I finished the Captain Kidd book, which was great. And then I went to the palace. This is something I was talking about last week, where this debate of going earlier, going later, and kind of what I said and what I ended up doing a little earlier than I expected is I like to look for a gap in a day where basically I would be doing something that isn't necessarily time sensitive. And like you said, you studied because it was raining, and that is sort of like a good use of that rain time, right? When you're not sure that's going to always be the case. But I ended up just going to the palace that day because it felt like a good sort of like in between empty day. And I was like, sure, why not? This was something some people brought up in comments too, of like, people like to go to the palace early because on the comments of last week's episode, excuse me, because it's like it'll trigger certain things or it'll unlock certain things if you go earlier. And that's totally true. But my kind of retort to that is always that, like, if there's something for you to be doing, then it's not a waste of time to not have triggered those things yet, if that makes sense. Like, if you're doing things that you were going to be doing anyway and is going to be productive use of time, then, like, not going to the palace isn't really a delay, because doing those things could, like, for example, hanging out with Ryuji unlocked a confidant skill that would then be usable in the palace, and that's like useful. Or like crafting lockpicks, right, will then give you lockpicks to use in the palace. So there's I think definitely I understand the argument of go as early as possible, but I think really I like just going when it makes sense to go, because there are things you can do that are productive uses of time and don't really feel like a waste, quote unquote. And again, you can just play the way you want it too.
Yeah, like there are the benefits to it, but yeah, I totally agree with you in terms of like, I don't think it's wrong to wait so long as you have things you want to be doing and are interested in. And even if that is, like you were saying, just going to the batting cages for a day because you want to, that's fine. I totally think it's, again, there are definitely optimal ways to play, but I also, especially for a first time through, if you're playing the way you want to, that's kind of what matters the most.
Yeah, definitely.
So you did that.
So I did the palace, and then that evening I made lockpicks because there were a couple of chests that I could not unlock.
Cool.
But yeah, so that was what I did. And I actually completed the palace on that day.
Okay, cool.
So I got all the way to the end of it, and then I guess we'll save this for the next day, but yeah. So that was what I did, is I completed the palace. I read a book, completed the palace, and then made some lockpicks. It was a very, it was a long day.
it's one of those things where there will be definitely, and this is, I think, the lightest of spoilers, but there are some palaces you can't complete in a day.
Yes.
But this is one of those where you can, so if you want to, you also don't have to, which is something I did later in the week, but I mostly did that out of a, like, one, I wanted to get back to the day-to-day because I was enjoying it so much, and two, I was just like, I haven't done this with the palace in a while, let me just see how it goes. I am sure some Persona purists will be very mad at me that I didn't just finish it in a day, but...
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, the common knowledge of the first game was that it's very hard to finish at least some of the palaces in a day in the first game, or in the base game. Royal kind of makes it a little easier because it, and we'll get into this next week, but like it adds some mechanics that refresh your mana a little bit, right? And like let you be able to stick in a little longer if you want to. But definitely, even still, like that's the thing that I think is very key about the palaces, is that they are endurance tests in a very real way, right? Like that's the whole challenge of them to a certain extent, is resource management. Totally. And we can dig into that more next week, but like, I don't think that there's absolutely like, I'm kind of like a, like I try, like I like that challenge a lot, but absolutely it is not, there's nothing wrong with just like taking your time and taking a little bit more time to just like play it at the pace you want to play. You know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, that's the end of the show. Yeah, you said the title. So.
And you're not playing it, quote unquote, optimally, right? That's very true. But, like, so?
It's games. it should be fun.
It's a game.
Anyway, moving on from that day then. On the 21st, I did my confidant thing with Takemi. So I spoke with
her. So you got her.
To start that up. And then I spent the evening in the bathhouse. It was either, what day of the week was that? It was one of the days of the week, I believe, where you get a bonus.
Yeah.
And so I went there because there are certain days of the week you get a bonus for going to the bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's raining, you can even get more of a bonus. If you're interested, again, in optimally playing, there are certain ways I am and certain ways I don't care. But for some of those stats, I like to get them as quickly as possible because they can be totally. Really, really time-consuming down the line. And then, yeah, my Takemi intro, which is the thing you did last week, right? That was how
yeah,
you
did. Yeah.
Okay. And so I guess we can touch on that briefly just so since we've now started that path. It sure is a thing you're doing, going to a doctor and just taking random drugs as a guinea pig, as a teenager.
I really appreciate that she's like, oh, I didn't expect you to drink that. like right away. She's
yeah.
just like, oh, dang, okay. Like, all right, man.
You really want these. All right.
Yeah. The Takemi thing is definitely, it doesn't get really weird, I think, until later, but like, it's very funny that they never fully really explain with Takemi whether she's like actually crooked, like, or is just sort of like, that's the perception around her, because she is giving like an under the table teenager like drugs to test, but then at the same time, like, she seems like she's actually a good doctor and there's lots of like accusations around her. So like, yeah, she's a very funny character. I like Takemi a lot generally, though. I like her kind of like degaff attitude.
yeah the other than the like given an underaged minor drugs, she is an interesting character, and I agree. I like her performance and the personality there, because like you said, the thing of like, oh, you really took that, or just things like, oh yeah, this will kill you, go ahead, or just like simple things like that. It's like it's riding the line of like, how jokey should a doctor be? It reminds me a lot of like the doctor in Arrested Development, who would always say things in the wrong cadence. it's like one of those things, but I do like her as well, aside from the issues of it. But yeah, we don't know currently, and this is not me trying to fish, but like, we don't know currently what the drugs are that she's giving you, right? Like the testing.
Not at this point.
Okay,
no.
Cool. Anyway, other than that, so yeah, spoke with Takemi in bathhouse, and then what did you do on the 21st?
The 21st, I sold all my stuff, because I had just been to the palace, so I went back into the money, got into the green again, and then I sent the calling card, which is a mechanic that we can explain now, because probably a lot of people have already heard about it, but basically, we'll dig into this again, more with the palace discussion later, but essentially, there's multiple stages to beating a palace, and this is also just revealed through if you ever look at the network thing to see what other people did.
Yeah.
The first, you have to complete the palace, and then you send a calling card, and then you go back in to steal the actual treasure. And that's the cadence of a palace, obviously with exceptions later on. But the funny thing about the calling card is that you send it, and then you, like, don't get to do anything all day. Right? Like, that is your afternoon activity, is sending the calling card, which is odd to me, but that's okay. I don't know. It's just, like, a little weird that it always struck me as a little odd that it, like, takes off that entire day.
Especially because it's usually, like, a team effort. Like, someone else will usually be involved in helping compose it. I didn't do the calling card this week, but because I didn't finish the palace. But, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, that probably, I could have, you know, visited the Big Bang Burger and gotten some food. Like, I probably had some time during that day.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I did that day was I also went and made sure I bought the DVD player, which you can get at that secondhand store and hook up to the TV that you find when you clean your room. And one of the best changes in Royal is that the video store now is, instead of before, which was you would rent individual DVDs, and then if you didn't return them on time, you would get late fees you had to return them on time for. Now in Royal, you just pay a one-time fee. I think it's like almost like around 5,000 yen the first time you go to the video store, and then you can rent one DVD at a time for as long as you want, any time you want, which is great. So I rented a DVD called The X Folders, which was an X-Files spinoff. I love the, like, the little dialogue that happens in the background when you're watching those movies and shows. It's so funny. And that also got up Guts. So nice. I sent the calling card and then got the DVD player and watched the show for Guts.
Cool. I didn't realize that change, because I think I only watched like one or two DVDs in my base game. But I did hear a couple people on the train talking about that. They were like, oh yeah, it's a subscription thing. You can like sign up for life. I remember them. I was like, I don't remember that, but that's good to know it was an actual change.
It's a great change. That's really good change. It's just one of those things where it's like, it wasn't a problem, right? It was just like one of the few things in the base game that's just like, oh yeah, it's a little annoying, right? And they were like, hey, you know, that's a little annoying. Let's make that not annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, good, great.
The benefits of Royal show themselves in so many fun, small ways. It's interesting so far. That, I think, is all of the 21st. I have, like, no other notes, so I don't think anything else happened. 22nd. The train ride that morning talked, at least for me, about a delinquent at the arcade. and then I did go into the palace on this day, and as I said, I didn't finish it. But it like immediately it throws you a few more mechanics. It I did want to point out, I think for this week I think it's okay to, you know, not go too deep into it, but I started it, and that's where also An has to come up with her Phantom Thieves name, and the options they give you for her becoming Panther. I just want to. Cat girl, sexy cat, and kitty woman. Those are the three options your character thinks of on the fly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it's not
great.
He's not the most clever human in the world.
No, especially when he sees what, you know, a pretty girl to him. Apparently, creativity goes out the window. But anyway, so I went to the palace for that day, and then as you were saying, then it's nice that you're sort of just able to do a little bit more instead of Morgana telling you not to go to bed all the time.
It's a huge difference.
It makes such a change. I love it.
Yeah. Because, again, without spoilers, there were ways to do things after you go to a palace, and it's still relevant in Royal, but, like, later on. But the fact that just right out the gate you can just be working on social skills or making lockpicks or whatever at night when you get back from the metaverse is such a nice change. It's so, so helpful.
Yeah.
And it eases out that sort of like early game, because the beginning of the base game is a little daunting. Like,
totally.
I know a lot of people who, when they first start playing it, are like, it's not letting me do anything. Like, I just come home and it says go to bed. Like, why is that happening? And they just sort of like, they really addressed that in this one.
There are definitely a couple days in the last couple weeks where that happened, but yeah, it's night and day, and you get an extra night so often now, and it's so nice. And so I actually cleaned up the cafe again, not because I like thought it was worth doing, but I just wanted to see what would happen doing it, because again, it was totally new to me, and I got a little bit of kindness for it. But I think also Sojiro was happy that I did it, so I got a little bit of a confidant boost there, which was very nice. But yeah, that was all I pretty much did that day. What about you?
So since I sent the calling card on the 21st, on the 22nd I was locked into going and stealing the treasure on the 22nd, so I did that, and then at night I just watched the second part of the X Folders movie which then got me a rank up in guts. So I'm now level 2 in guts, which means nice. I think I went from milquetoast to bold.
Yes, the natural, you know, change in guts.
My favorite one is charm, because your charm, the level 1 charm, like the base charm, is existent. Which is just the most incredible backhanded thing in the world. Not non-existent, just existent. Your charm level is you exist.
Oh my god. I don't know what this says about me, but do you know what my mind just went like? If I had to think of an example character to describe that level, my mind went to Morty from Rick and Morty.
I was just like,
you know. He's not charming. He exists, though.
But, he exists. Yes.
But yeah, it's really funny the labels that they come up with for those. But yeah, it's something that I think one of the things I did poorly in my first run was I sort of let some of those lapse a little too long, and then there were points in the late game where I just went to Big Bang Burger every day to up my guts for like 2 weeks straight, and it was not a good use of time. But so I'm trying to be a little more mindful of that and like jump into everything a little bit to get things up. And it feels like Royal gives you more opportunity. Like you were saying, we were saying free points, but it's like, it feels like there are more accessible ways to get these stats up without ruining the experience.
There definitely are. And that's, again, library books, right? Just always have whatever that one skill you're working on hand if you need it.
Yeah, it's super helpful tip to have, and I am learning probably as much as some other first-timers are. Anyway, moving on to the 23rd, I worked at the flower store for my first time. I worked there. I had gotten my charm or kindness, whichever one it is, up to the second that you need to get the job. I worked there because on Saturdays in Royal, if you work there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, you get a bonus. But because it's the first time you work there, you don't get a bonus because it's the introductory one. I didn't remember that, so I didn't get a bonus and waited.
You're ahead of the curve.
I was waiting till Saturday, though. I was like, I'm going to wait till Saturday so I can get the bonus, and then I didn't get the bonus. I was like, well, my save is like 6 days earlier, so I'm not gonna go back and save scum right now.
I've been a little more lax about this in the beginning, but a thing that Andrew actually taught me way back when I first started Persona 5 that I took to heart and kept doing was every 2 days I save on a new file line.
That's a good call.
And that way, because you have 16 save slots, I think. So every 2 days I save on a new file line. And what that does is it means you at any time have a month you can jump back to at any point. So it like, and I've never had to do that drastically, right? But like, if you realize at some point, like, oh man, I really screwed up and I really don't have enough time to do X thing that I really, really want to do, you can go back up to 30 days or 32 days or whatever it is and reload. And it's like, it's thankfully never something I've needed drastically, but it is very comforting to know that you sort of like always have that buffer in the back. And I've been doing it basically every like 3 to 4 days now because... Yeah. It's a little excessive this early in the game when you've already played it twice I'm not going to screw up that as bad as a month at this point.
Totally. But yeah, I totally agree with that tip. If you are looking, like if you're a first timer playing and you are sort of a little uncertain about how you're going to play each day, don't worry about it. Save as often as you feel like it. I think every other day, every 2 days is a good cadence for sure. And that'll just help you if you feel like you wasted a day or two, you'll probably have to go back, but not spend too much time catching back up.
Yeah.
I worked at the flower store, did that. And then the evening I grabbed some materials from the store right outside, in Yongandraya and made lockpicks that night.
Nice. Nice.
What about you?
So, also this was the day that there was another quiz in classroom about the Emperor Nero, right?
Yes.
And this is also one of my favorite things about the quizzes. Pay attention to what they're saying, right? Because they're always related vaguely to the things that are happening in the game world, right? So, like, the first one was about optical illusions and about how, like, our brains perceive things as one way when they are actually another, or how we can perceive two different people can perceive things differently. And it's like kind of referencing the metaverse and like this idea of perception, of your perception of the world. And then this one is about a Nero who is this emperor despot, right? And then that's talking about Kamoshida, who thinks he's a king and is like ruling with an iron fist and like very self-centered. And like I just love the way that they tie these like school subjects into what's going on that way. And that day, because I had just gotten my guts up to rank 2, I was able to spend time with Takemi, so I got her up to rank 2, which I think... No, I think that doesn't unlock anything. You don't get a point for that. But okay. I like doing Takemi early because it unlocks good healing items early on. Yeah. And then that night, I actually bonded with Sojiro, which I hadn't done yet.
Okay.
Because cool. I'd been out and about doing palace stuff, but this time he was like, hey, let me teach you how to make coffee. And it was very cute.
Yeah, it's a very great, sweet moment. And we've talked about this before, but I just love sort of the cadence of your and Sojiro's relationship and mm-hmm. how it goes from him just being like, I don't want to have to deal with this kid that I volunteered to take care of. All right, maybe you're not the worst piece of crap I've ever seen. You're bad, but all right, maybe I'll like you a little bit. And it just gets slowly better and better. And he's still like a curmudgeon, but a caring curmudgeon at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I love. Moving on to the 24th, which was Sunday.
Smoothie day!
Yes, I... And order on TV day. If for anyone who's new to it, on Sundays, in the cafe on TV, they'll be having a sale on some crazy items that you can only get for now. It's a limited time offer of the bundles and everything, and so you're presented two options, and you can buy one of them. Of course, if you have the funds. Of course, if you have 50,000 extra yen, it's real easy to buy them. And so I bought one of them. I am blanking which one it was. I wrote it down somewhere. But I ordered on TV, and then smoothie day, as you were saying, was that a thing in the base game?
I don't think so, but if it was, then I just totally missed it. But okay, yeah, every Sunday you can go to the underground walkway in Shibuya and spend, I think it's about 5,000 yen to get a smoothie, which every week will give you 1 point in one of the social stats, which I believe it was charm this time.
I think you're correct. Yeah.
And yeah, so it just gets you like a point in a social stat. And again, it's one of those things like the plant in your room where it's just like a way to get social stats without spending time on it, which is always incredibly valuable. Anytime you can get confidant relationship points or social stat points without spending a unit of time, it's like super valuable and almost always worth whatever money you have to pay for it.
Totally. Yeah. And even if you don't have, that was why I originally went to the palace, was because this was before I had gotten any money and I was like, I really need money real bad. And so I did totally. That. And then I got the 50,000 later, like the night after. And I was like, well, God. But yeah, it's absolutely valuable to go do that, and I will make that a part of my Sunday every Sunday going forward in this game. And then I played baseball during the day at the batting cages. I'm so bad at baseball.
it's a hard one to at first, for sure.
It's yeah, so I like, is it a spoiler to say what I think the trick is?
No.
Okay, so the trick is,
what's your tips?
You, for anyone who hasn't done it yet, there are the batting cages in Yonganjaya, and Joker will be there ready to, you know, hit one of, you have five chances to hit a home run per session. And essentially, it's going to show you where the ball is going to come, like it, you know, it would in a baseball game. And you want the shadow of your bat, like there's a little thing that's kind of telling you where your angle is going to be. You want it to sort of be half covering the ball, but like the lower half of the ball. Mm-hmm. And then it's a matter of timing. But if you have it roughly like covering half of the ball and then half of it sort of in space and then you hit it, that's your best bet for getting a home run as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
But I only was able to hit one at best in each of the sessions. I did three. I think I got two, maybe once. I'm just so bad at the timing. I get so in my head. And it's one of those things where you get to like ball three and you're like, okay, I think I got it. And then I just miss four for some reason. And then five is a strike. And I'm like, well, okay, what am I doing? But it's almost too short for me to get into the groove of it.
Sure.
But you know, I did that, and then I made more lockpicks in the evening because I had a bunch of extra materials from the dungeon.
Right.
What about you? What did you do?
I did laundry during the day, which that's another mechanic right next to the bathhouse. You go, you bring your dirty clothes that you get off of mostly powerful shadows in palaces, and you can launder them, and they will get you armor that ranges, from what I can tell, it ranges from slightly better than what you can get in the shop at the time you got that armor, to significantly better. So I did four, and you can do four pieces of laundry, and I would say it's not, for new folk, it's not worth spending a ton of time doing laundry early, because you can get, there's a method for doing it without spending time on it later on, which I will not spoil, but it is definitely worth it, because you can get some really, really good armor really early on. So I did laundry during the day, and then at night, I watched another TV show movie DVD that I rented. This time it was the ghost parody called Wraith, which gets you kindness up, because it's like a romantic movie.
Okay. Okay.
So I got kindness up because there's a thing, I won't spoil this either, but there's a thing that says, hey, you should probably work on your kindness early on. So
we can
go outside at night now.
Yes, which is
that's a nice thing,
a godsend, because as you were saying, like, you can do the bathhouse in the evenings, you can do laundry. I did laundry the next afternoon, actually, from my first palace visit. But yeah, it's nice to have that all there. It's funny, like, going to the movie theater in Young and Giant, it's like, oh, they were too tired to keep it open, so it's closed for now. But there's enough couple, like, extra options there that while you're stuck to just exploring there, it's nice to be able to have that freedom again instead of just making lockpicks or something like that.
Yeah, and right now it's just Yang and Jaya, right? But I like the way that I really do like how this game, and I think they struck it better in Royal. This balance better in Royal, but I do like that it starts restricted and sort of opens up, and it keeps doing that for like the first like 20 or 30 hours of the game, sort of like blossom more and more and more. And I think Royal, like I said, I think Royal does it better than the base game did it in terms of like giving the balance of control to restriction, but also as more stuff opens up, it really does A, feel like you're exploring more of the city and getting more freedom, but also B, if it just gave you all that choice right at the beginning, it would be even more overwhelming than it even is at the start of this free time.
Absolutely. So yeah.
I like that it sort of, and it's also just exciting because you then showed you, I was like, all right, yeah, you can go outside at night, and it's like, oh, cool, this is a new little thing I can do now. Like it's exciting.
Yeah. It's, I think if everything was open at once, it would lose some of the magic of discovering the things you can do when those options open up.
Yeah.
Cause I probably would have spent like 4 or 5 hours in the first day just looking at every little thing and then, but anyway, moving on to the 25th, I read the Pirate Legend, the Captain Kidd book on the train in the morning. I did the wash in the afternoon. My note was, Morgana sat on top, and it was cute. that's where I was when I did that.
That's not wrong. Very cute.
Also, there's a little, I never paid attention to this, but this is, I guess, the benefit of playing so slowly. There's just a little cat hanging out on the wall outside the cafe.
There's cats all over Young and Giant.
Yeah, there's so many cats, but like this one specifically was just there, and then it kind of goes into like a little back alleyway, and then I just stood there, and it just like sat and stared at me for like a minute, and then it just disappeared into the ether, and I was like, oh, that was so cute, and it was meaningless, got me no stats, but I was like, oh, this is great. And I got my package that evening. Okay, here we go. I got Sakura Mochi, the Spring Fruit Pack, and Party in a Can. So those are the three items that I got from that.
I got that one too. Yeah, that was the slightly more expensive one. And the reason I got that one, I don't know about you, but like it had SP items in it, SP recovery items.
Yeah.
And SP recovery items are rare and expensive and incredibly useful because the limiting factor in a palace is almost always SP, not HP. 100%. So yeah, I buy SP items basically every opportunity I can if I have the money to do so.
Yeah, very much so. And then what did you do on the 25th?
So I read the kindness book on the train, the kindness one from the library. And then, I worked at 777, the convenience store, which you did, I believe, on your first free day.
Yes.
I love that Morgana is chilling outside the window staring at you while you work that entire time.
It's so great.
It's very weird and cute.
Yeah.
And that actually got my charm up, so I'm now level 2 charm as well.
Okay.
And then in the evening, I hung out with Sojiro, so I got a second point, and now I can brew coffee, which is great. Because that's an SB item.
Yes, yeah. And then as a tip again for anyone who's new to it, for the convenience store job, get it out of the way before the first one, but you do get bonuses for working on nights that end with 7 in the date.
Yeah.
So definitely go do that. But yeah, that is the final day for this week for us.
Yeah, this is the funny thing, right, about this part is we didn't have, I had some story stuff because I, finished the palace, but it is really freeing at this point where you just like, our weeks had some similarities, right? But our weeks also had a lot of differences. And I'm sure a lot of the people listening who might be playing along, also probably did things very differently.
Totally.
And it's cool to see how much variety there is because again, nothing either of us did was technically like a waste of time, right? It's all going to go towards something or other, even if it's just for funsies. I love the structure of this game. I think the deadline structure is so clever and gives you so much freedom while also allowing them to make a very on-rails RPG. It's just a really, really nice balance.
Totally. I've definitely been enjoying it so far, like re-experiencing the game and seeing what's changed and what's not for Royal. But I think this was the first week and it solidified for me why I love the structure so much. Like, this is the first week where it was hard for me to just say, okay, I will just stop for now and play for some because it is so fun to get into that rhythm of like, what can I do the next day? Like what confidant opportunities may be available? What, what may it be a smart day to go do something? Oh, it's raining today. I can actually take advantage of this. And we're still really limited in what we can do. Like it's going to get even more exciting to do that, but you're totally right. Like the deadline structure mixed with this day by day sort of, go at your own pace just makes it such a easy, like it's the closest thing to a just one more like run of a roguelike but in an RPG.
It's a JRPG with the Stardew Valley effect of just one more day, right? Like it has that sort of addictive quality where you're like, oh yeah, but you know, tomorrow I might get to hang out with Ryuji, and it's like, oh, or you like go into the next day and it's like, oh man, this person wants to hang out, maybe I should stick around and just do one more. And it's like, yeah, it's got that quality and I love it.
Yeah, it's so great to have, and we are now in that that sort of time where this is going to become a bigger part of what we do. And we're going to definitely, I think, figure out these weeks as we go. They're certainly the loosest for what we can talk about, and we're going to get to a point where like, oh yeah, I did X, Y, and Z for the fifth time. Like we're not gonna have always brand new things to do every day, and so we'll figure out how to talk about that stuff.
Obviously next week is gonna be a big one because we are gonna be talking about the palace, and then also we're gonna be talking about, I believe the deadline will hit during the next week of games. So it's gonna be back to a little bit more on rails story by the end of next week for sure.
Well, what day is the deadline again?
I don't remember exactly.
Okay,
but
I want to say it's May 2nd.
That might be right. I think it's the Sunday, the Saturday or the Sunday.
Okay, if it's Sunday, I'm gonna try to look this up and see. Oh, there we go. We can do this. I should May 2nd. So yeah, that will be the last day of next week. That we'll be talking about. So yeah, definitely plan to discuss all things palace related. One, I would love to know definitely for the comments, let us know what you did during this time. Like I am really fascinated by how people spend their time in this game. And like the things you love doing, the things like you felt like I maybe didn't need to do that, or just the things that, you know, filled the time as you were trying to get to the next thing you really wanted to do. I love hearing sort of the cadence of those things. So let us know there. And then, yeah, we will be talking about the palace in full last week. We'll both have played it, obviously. So if you have like questions about it, spoiler filled, of course, but if you have questions about the palace or comments about the palace, make sure to leave them on either the YouTube version of the show or write into dronology@gmail.com. And would love to talk about some of your thoughts overall about the palace, the fights within, the puzzles, whatnot. Like, give us your feedback on that stuff. Would love to be able to talk about that as we go into next week. But as Morgana doesn't tell you some days this week, but will tell you other days, you're probably getting pretty tired as we are, so it's probably a good time to sunset. But before we do...
Quiz time?
Quiz time. It's quiz time. All right.
Hit me.
I really need a jingle for quiz time. We'll get there. So... One that I'm gonna, this doesn't count because this one should never be one because it's too easy.
This is Persona Pseudonym, right?
We're gonna start with Persona Pseudonym, where I tell you the name of the persona before you actually collect it. That usually shows up on screen, and Tom will have to guess what persona that is. If it stumps you, this will be my one for the week, but I don't think it will, so I might give you a second. And again, I'm trying to keep it to personas we would have seen within this point in the game, including the palace. The apprentice in a jug.
Oh God, what's his name? It's the... Aga something? I can't remember the name.
You're
of
so
the...
close, yeah.
It's Aga something. I can't remember.
It's Agony trying to hear you.
Agathia. I can't remember the... Agathia.
Or Agathian, yeah. Maybe? I don't know.
Whatever it is. Yeah, I knew who you were talking about. This is the one with the, like, pentagram on it, the little dude.
Yeah, the little,
when,
like,
when you
in
capture
the
him. Yeah, when you capture him, he's, like, a child for some reason, and it's really weird to hear him talk about his mom.
Yeah, it can be uncomfortable sometimes. I have another, but I could also skip.
I leave it up to you. I defer.
Who is the viscid rotting meat?
Viscid rotting meat?
According to the Persona wiki that I'm looking at, that is the title.
Is this in the... This is one we could have encountered?
Yes. I'm going to include... this is getting into mechanics of next week, but fusions and things of that nature.
Okay. Is that the penis slime? I can't remember his name.
It's just the slime.
Oh, it's just slime. Okay, yeah, it's not the slime that looks like a penis, which is also a thing that I encountered this week, and we can talk about next week.
We're going to get to some of those phallic persona next week. But Tom,
okay, so it's just slime.
Yeah,
okay.
Hit us with your quiz question for this week.
All right, so while Jonathan gives me Persona Pseudonym to guess, I give you all to guess a pop quiz relating to something that I think probably most people will have encountered this week. When you hang out with Ryuji for the first, like, confidant hangout time to get him from 1 to 2, you go and train with him. You do some training, some running. And he says he's going to bring you to his, what he calls his secret training spot. Where is Ryuji's secret training spot?
It's inside Big Bang Burger, as we all know, obviously.
Yeah. So where is Ryuji's secret training spot is the pop quiz question for next week. You can message us our email is at dernology@gmail.com, or that's Jonathan's email, but you know, it's the same thing. We're all family here. I'm at Tom R. Marks on Twitter. He's at JM Dornbush on Twitter, or you can leave comments on the YouTube.com/dernology. You can also comment just...
You're doing the plugs for me. I'm going to take a little nap for this.
iTunes, Apple Podcasts, just leave the answer in a review. Who knows?
Leave answers. Yeah, if you're looking for something to write for your Apple or Apple Podcast review, just answer one of the quiz questions. It counts.
Exactly.
The Apple people won't have any idea what's going on, but you know what? You gave us a rating and we'll take it. But no, yes, that is a good reminder. Of course, if you are, whether you're jumping in now or you're catching up on a binge or you've been with us since the show started, thank you again to everyone who's been supporting the show since it began. We love doing this. We both love Persona, of course, but getting to one, be able to talk to each other about this, but to know that there are so many people out there who also want to talk about this game and to jump into the really, really, really specific stuff of it as we go day by day is a lot of fun. If you're wherever you're watching or listening to it, please remember, if you are enjoying it, please consider subscribing, rating it, giving it a thumbs up, 5 stars, writing a small review. It does really, really help the show, get out there to more Persona fans. And really, at the end of the day, we just all want to talk about how good of a boy Ryuji is. So, you know, let the people have what they want. But Tom, thank you again so much for joining me this week. As always, this was a blast.
It's a pleasure.
And thank you to everyone who's been out there listening and watching. Remember, new episodes drop every Monday of Take Your Time, so be sure to subscribe or follow along. And Tom pointed you to where we are on Twitter again, so you can follow us there in case there are any changes or announcements for the show. But I can't wait to jump into Palace Talk next week. But until we get there, I guess we'll just have to take our time getting to the next episode. Bye.